between school, everything else, we're trained. You sit down, you memorize something. There's no creation, there's no anything else. There is simply the answer and you memorize it. Then when you put that down, the better you do is calculated by the least you get wrong. And so if you get anything wrong, you're bad. Day after day after day after day, every day. And we are trained that that's where our value comes from. It comes from 100%. We are trained that our value comes from simple regurgitation, which simplifies everything. There is simply an answer. And I have to, in order to be right, to be good, in order to get my gold star socially, everything else, it has to be that answer. And that is not how entrepreneurship is. That's not how investing is, right? At all. Yeah. It's, no, we make mistakes and there is not exactly known things. And that is really, really hard to overcome because we've all been that beaten in our head. You know, you go to college, all of a sudden you're 23 and that's what you've been told your entire life.
Yeah, it's a constant battle against the fog of war in business. Best way to figure out the right direction is to go the wrong direction, and now you know that was the wrong direction. But the willingness to embrace the possibility of being wrong, man, I think that's one of the biggest differences.
How's it going, Steve? Thanks for being on. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you you having me on. I'm looking forward. It's been a long time coming for us to finally do something together.
I know. It's been a long time coming, so I'm glad we got to make this work out. I'm really excited because it has been a long time coming to talk to you. I have a lot of questions. You have a very interesting way of looking at things, right? And especially the market. Overall real estate and what you're doing and how you think about it, which is fascinating and interesting to me. So why don't we real quick here get the audience kind of caught up. Why don't you tell us about how you got to this point and what it is you are currently doing?
How I got to this point, well, A, I'm a serial entrepreneur, and B, I have a background in engineering, right? Like you don't know what you want to do, so you go to college and you just do whatever. And like, I'm good at math, so I'll do engineering. And then, you know, you read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, you get into real estate. So I've done everything I think there is to do in real estate except for managing properties, right? I think I've touched everything else. So, you know, bought properties to flip, bought rentals, done retail sales, done short sales, done foreclosures, started a brokerage, wholesale, and flip. So we've done a lot of different things. So what I'm really most excited about right now is just changing the way sales is done. I think for far too long, sales has a reputation of kind of having this used car feel where it's really pushy and they've got an agenda. And I want to have sale be the noble, have it looked upon as the noble profession that it is. And that we're helping someone in a situation where they're trying to go away from something bad or go towards something good. Either way, serve them in a positive way that everyone wins.
You know, it's been interesting to me, and I think it's part of the climate, right? Like with inflation so high and cost for everyone so high, one of the major costs, obviously, if not the number one cost to everyone, is housing. It's where am I going to live? So in a time where that price has gone way, way up, that has created a lot of animosity amongst homeowners, renters, and you see that be really transferred to the real estate community overall. And, you know, it's funny because I even get people that'll jump online and they'll be like, so you're the reason my rents are up, and because I'm talking about some real estate, and I'm like, start bashing on me, and I'm like, I do storage. I don't know. Your rents have nothing to do with me. I don't, but it's just, it's like a trigger, right? It's just real estate.
If you want to go viral right now and get a bunch of followers, one of the best ways is to go on TikTok and Instagram and talk about the value that landlords provide, right? You want to go viral because every time, I don't do a lot of it, but every time I talk about like the landlord and tenant dynamic, man, just the threads, they attack each other, right? They really hate each other. It's probably as bad as left-right, except, you know, you can't be wrong, really, per se. So, like, no one can hate you for this.
Yeah.
So, you can't, you can't get canceled for being one side or the other. So it's a flame war. It's fascinating to watch every time.
It is very fascinating to watch because it didn't used to be like that ever. Mm-hmm. And it's like there's that tolerance level of, you know, not even tolerance level, but you can see when housing rent and stuff like that, real estate's really popular. And then all of a sudden when it gets hard and market conditions, which by the way, don't have anything to do with the person that owns it, get hard, then those tensions flip and it changes the way people perceive and want to be a part of it. So I love that you're, you know, educating people and talking about how we do this. So let's hit on that first right out of the gate. What is your kind of messaging behind that? Talk more about that and why that's important to you.
The messaging in regards to?
Your changing the perception of real estate.
For real estate, I'm not really doing as much change of perception of real estate. Really, for me, I look at real estate as one of the best vehicles for changing your life. You know, I think we all read Rich Dad Poor Dad, or a lot of us have read Rich Dad Poor Dad, and we saw this as a way to escape the W-2 9-to-5, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, he made it sound a lot easier. And as you get more experience in real estate, you find out that actually buying rental real estate is not the fastest way to create wealth.
No.
It is a way to, once you start creating lots of active income, to reduce tax consequences, but it is not necessarily the fastest way to create wealth. But I am a very big proponent of helping people understand that there are other ways to create wealth, or at least make a living, because I think that our society has kind of, we try to shoehorn every person into high school, then college, then 9-to-5, right? Go get a degree, regardless of whether it's valuable or not, right? Get this massive student debt, and then go work a job that you hate for the next 40 years so that you might be able to retire. And I want to change that narrative, because that's not necessary, not in America. You can actually choose your destiny. That's one of the best things about this country.
So what do you say to people that are like, yeah, but in this climate, I don't want to be a landlord? Or like, I think that's been a big thing where they're like, maybe I don't think I want to be doing real estate, right? I don't want to be a landlord. I don't want to deal with the tenants. To which I'm always like, well, you don't have to.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to be a landlord. I mean, that's the other thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's all these different ways. You do self-storage, these multifamily guys. It's a little bit more of advanced techniques in that you have to develop the skill sets that you kind of acquire when you're doing single family, right? Single family is easier to get into, but self-storage, you've got the right mentor. You can just jump right into that, so long again as you have the right mentor and relationships. I would say that if you don't want to deal with the headaches of being a landlord, if you can find a different vehicle to your success, great. But I look at it as really more of moving away from the pain of having a boss. You know, for myself personally, I found out pretty quickly that I wasn't employable or manageable. I didn't know it, right, until I got a job. So actually, I kind of figured out as an intern when I got screamed at by my boss. I was like, that's weird. And I went straight to her boss, like, hey, why is she yelling at me? But beyond that, like, if you are okay living an average life, then keep doing what you're doing. If you want to live an extraordinary life, then you've got to be willing to do what others won't.
So tell me about that transition for you. You realize this isn't for me, right? I'm not going to excel here. So then how did you move? I think a lot of people, it's almost like they have a hard time visualizing or even understanding. I don't even know how that move works. So how did you get out of that trap?
Well, so first, I was actually in a really, really good situation. I was working like 25 hours a week, showing up late, leaving early, and getting paid really well with like great reviews. Like, that wasn't the problem. My work was good. It's just I couldn't listen to other people to tell me how to do my job, right?
Yeah.
That was my biggest problem. But the to make the move is actually way simpler. It's super simple. All you got to do is find someone that has had the success that you want to have. And truly had the success that you want to have doesn't appear to have the success from social media, right? Yeah. So you got to make sure that they're actually doing the things that you want. So mentorship is so, so critical. And when I say like finding someone that's doing what you want, I don't mean like making money, because making money, there are unlimited ways to make money.
Yes.
Real estate, outside of real estate, right? There are all these different vehicles for success. What I'm talking about is finding someone that's living the life in regards to maybe if family's important to you, who's got a good family. If travel's important to you, find someone that's built a business that's allowed them to travel, right? Like whatever is important to you, and that requires a little bit of internal introspection, but if you can figure out what your perfect life looks like, then find someone that's living that perfect life.
Yeah.
And learn from them.
Yeah, it's strange to me a lot of times, because when we were, I didn't have consistent income because I was in sales. And when we were trying to figure out and try to, this idea, I learned really quickly that, okay, I'm making good money, but I'm what I called on a treadmill. And this thing is tiring and it's not gonna stop. And I felt like I was always running, not in fear, but kind of, because we had to do it. You couldn't make money if you didn't. So it was always on, right? And it was like, this isn't sustainable. And so we really had to think through then, because we were the revenue producers, meaning I was actually doing stuff. How do we get the things that I can do here with be my own boss kind of in sales and right, have unlimited potential, all those things that I liked, but how can I get not the downsides here that I hate? And what we did is we went and started, I literally went and shadowed and interviewed people and worked with people that had done it in all sorts of different ways. And as we kind of narrowed in on a path, it was because of that direct feedback. It's like, you, of course you don't know how, so go find out. And that's right. That's not even that hard, right?
It's not hard, and it's common sense.
Yes.
After you see it.
After right? you like see it, you're exactly right. Only after, then it's like obvious. But before, right. it's not. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you just think that people knew it somehow, right? Where they didn't. Everybody had to learn it from someone, and then they just followed the steps.
Exactly right. Another thing too, you mentioned a treadmill, and this isn't quite the treadmill component, but something I've noticed a lot is that we left the rat race, because that's what Kiyosaki called it, right? Mm-hmm. You left the rat race to go do your own thing. What I have found in other people that get into this business, or into real estate at least, is that you go from a rat race that's a 9-to-5 to a much fancier rat race where you're driving around in Lamborghinis. And what I mean by that is you go to these masterminds, like, what are you doing? Oh, what are you doing? Right? Oh, you're doing how much? How much did you make last month? Oh, I want to do that too. And we're constantly scaling, and we're going in a faster rat race and nicer cars, but we gotta at some point slow down and realize, actually, I'm kind of content with how much I'm making right now, because once you're content with how much you're making, you can actually settle at some sort of equilibrium where you don't have to go make more revenue. You can just figure out how to reduce your expenses and maintain revenue, and that's when life gets a little bit easier.
Yeah. I tell people, I'm like, I don't mind running. Running on a treadmill didn't bother me. It's the fact that I wasn't going anywhere. So you can run on a treadmill or you can run on the ground and actually go somewhere. And in either situation, you're still running. So you're doing the exact same thing. It just with one, you're actually going somewhere. And that is the distinction. People are like, oh, so you didn't want to have a traditional job because you didn't want to work. And I'm like, oh no, I work way harder if I don't have a traditional job. And they're like, wait, what? Like, it's because, once again, I can do it though, but I'm in control of it. So I can work when I want to, when I'm passionate, right? I can make those decisions, and I can do that in a mindful way to create and get to where I'm trying to go.
Well, it's funny, right? The perception of entrepreneurship from the outside looking in, right? And I had the same thing, right? Like, I got into real estate, I can someday retire, live on the beach, right, and drink pina coladas. I'm not a Mai Tai person, I'm a pina colada person. I could just chill on the beach and just drink pina coladas, right? Like 2-3 years in, no problem. And the reality is we work way harder. But on the outside looking in, it seems like, you get to pick your hours, you get to work whenever you want, and you get to make all this money. That's the perception, but man, reality and perception do not line up, at least for the first 5 to 10 years.
Yep, 100%. That is a really hard thing, I think, for people to realize. The time frame associated with it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also a jolt to the system, because I think that perception is wrong. It's strange to them. and how it really, really is working. And I think they think too short term. And that really, really can hurt you.
If you think about when you go work for yourself, you have actually the worst boss possible,
yep.
right? Yourself.
Yourself.
Because your boss is grossly incompetent in this field now.
Yep.
So grossly incompetent, has unrealistic expectations. And then I was actually talking to someone the other day, and I said it kind of jokingly, but I don't think he took it as a joke. But I was like, you know, have you noticed that all your problems have one thing in common? He's like, what's that? You?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I was saying it as a joke, but I don't think he took it as a joke.
No, I think you're exactly right.
Yeah. So again, just think about like, yeah, when you go work for yourself, you're working for an incompetent boss, at least at the beginning.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I even view it as like, I should always basically be incompetent because I'm trying to move forward. So the things that I am doing do not have set answers. They don't have set ways to do it because I'm creating, of course I'm incompetent at it because no one's competent at this with these circumstances, right? Different things like that. Now I learn and I learn to apply and you know, you can piecemeal and everything, but you got to be comfortable. Like when you're an employee, it's a lot harder because you're saying, you're going to show up here, you're going to do exactly this at this time, yeah. right? And then you're going to leave at this time, and then money's going to magically show up in your bank account. And right. that's our relationship. You're told what to do, that money shows up, mm-hmm. right? And two, that's not a bad relationship, by the way, everybody. I worked two jobs while I was building my company, everything like that. I think jobs are very important, necessary, entrepreneurship. I'm not at all talking bad about it. I'm talking about the mentality, though, of then when you are on your own and you're creating, you have to get up early. You have to force yourself to do the things, even though the outcomes aren't directly associated. So you have to do all those things, and then guess what? You don't get a biweekly paycheck. Yeah. That doesn't magically appear in the bank account. So it's a totally different mentality of the what you have to do, why you're doing it, right, and how to do it. And a lot of people, I think it's just that shift, like you're saying. It's me now. I'm the problem. I don't know. I'm not qualified. And instead of saying that, yes, that's correct and that's okay, it's, oh, I shouldn't even be doing this.
Yeah. And I think, again, just to your point, right, like there's nothing wrong with a W-2 job because when we as entrepreneurs were out there, we were talking, we can give off the appearance that there's something wrong with a W-2. Really what it is we recognize within ourselves that we can't do what everyone else is doing, right? Like the being told where to be, when to be, what to do, exactly how to do it, it was slowly killing me on the inside. We had this at Intel. We had this core value of disagree and commit, which is like AJ is my project manager. He says, "Steve, here's how you're going to do it," and I'm like, "No, you're wrong. Yeah. This is the best way to do it, right? On the front line, you're the manager."
Yeah,
and I can tell you from my own experience. You have your experience, obviously, but I got from my own experience, my own knowledge, like what you're saying is wrong, but it didn't matter.
Didn't matter. Yeah.
Because AJ is the manager, I have to do AJ's way. And man, that definitely was killing me on the inside.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny because I often think that too when it's like I actually think the qualities that make me good at certain things are not necessarily good qualities. And they're not fun ones. Like, and what I mean by that is I think a lot of people look at it and like, oh, I wish I had that quality. I wish I had that thing. And it's like, no, actually, these are normally challenges, right? Like my wanting to chase something and discover and create, right? It's so it's, once again, it's not like I think people imagine it to be, which isn't bad. For those of us that are in it and stuff, we love it. We would never do anything else, obviously.
It's an admirable trait in entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
It is a trait that my team at times would love to have less of. And my wife would at times wish at less of.
Yeah, exactly. That you just nailed it on the head. And it's something too, though, that we can't seem to turn off.
No, and we're wired a certain way.
Exactly, right? And that's okay. So for a lot of people, I think though too, especially with real estate, this is why I love real estate. When people think of entrepreneurs, they think of, oh, Steve Jobs, and that's what I have to be if I'm an entrepreneur. That's not true. And financial freedom, by the way, too, guys, is not necessarily tied to entrepreneurship. Meaning that you can create a very standard systematic way, especially in real estate, to not have what you might think of to be a big company, things like that, even though I believe if you're doing it, you are an entrepreneur, but not in the sense that I think a lot of people think about it. Like, you can create a methodology to achieve financial freedom without having to say, oh, I've got to leave my job, or I've got to start a company, and there's all this business stuff, right? Mm-hmm. That can be overwhelming to people. And two, that's the great thing about financial freedom. That's actually not necessary.
Yeah, and you mentioned Steve Jobs, and that's right. You know, you hit the nail on the head there. You look at Steve Jobs, Elon Musk, Zuckerberg, Bezos. It's like, oh my God, I can never be these people. It's like, these are some of the most extraordinary human beings that have ever lived.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yes. that's not the standard. And if you read The Millionaire Next Door, you find that a lot of people are millionaires, not because of how great they were, but because the regular life was not available to them. Right? English was a second language. They speak it poorly, right? So yeah, there's all these different ways. And like, again, like, if you know, for AJ, you know, you had a sales career prior.
Yeah.
You can make a lot of active income with a sales career and just buy rental properties or buy storage.
Yep.
You could buy self-storage. That's it.
That's exactly how it started out. There was nothing more. Yeah. I wasn't even going to leave my job. I was just going to sell, try to make money, put it in storage, and then be financially free. It was actually going to be a very simple thing we'd had lined up. That was the original plan.
Yep.
And that's okay. You can do that. That's why I think, that's why though, like, you guys here, like, we get fired up about it and we're excited about it, because I don't believe it's reserved for some type of people or some financial situation or for, no, it is. So real estate is the one business that you can carbon copy almost a model exactly. And you need to, no other entrepreneurship, every business that we've started, you guys, it's first of all, we don't know if it's going to work, right? We have all these questions that we're doing. The logistics behind the outcome are wild and unknown. That is not how it is with real estate. It's here's the path, here's what you do, here's what you need to expect, how you protect yourself, and create a system to basically repeat this. And there's very few assets in the world that is even possible with. And there's definitely fewer assets that have the all of it together. Tax advantages, cash flow, equity, upside ownership, right? That's just so, so rare in the investing world. And it's crazy to think that probably the best investment vehicle and option is pretty much available to everyone.
Yeah, I mean, as long as, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, one of the things that I learned a couple of years back was the most important skill is the ability to coordinate action. You know, yes. So as long as you're able to work with other people, this is an option for you, right?
Yep.
If you can work with other people, this is an option for you. It's not rocket science. What's fascinating also is how many people make it rocket science and overcomplicate it, and it doesn't work. I don't know how many millions of hours on YouTube, podcasts, books written on it. Like, it's not rocket science. If you wanted to go buy real estate, you can go buy real estate.
Yep. The problem is, I think for a lot of people, you mentioned earlier, the time frame, right? And two, guys, it's simple but not easy. That's the thing I think about real estate. It's simple. It's very simple. If you looked at all risk, everything else like that, right? But it's not easy. Now, meaning it's easy in execution and everything, but you just don't click a button and buy a stock. Right? That's not how real estate works. So there are more things that you have to do to invest into it, of course, right? But it's still simple. It's not something that is, you know, and that's just, once again, unique for an investment. The simplicity, the returns approached with it, right? Everything else, that is very unique, and real estate has that. It's a way to, you know, you work with other people. That's probably actually the biggest skill set you need for real estate. I mean, honestly, that's it. And then following just paths and systems that can be applied to any time. Obviously, it requires education and changing the way you think. But it's, once again, it is still simple.
Yeah. I mean, I think that part you're talking about, changing the way you think, I think that's probably the hardest part. You know, we work with a lot of people over the years. I think hundreds at this point. And the one thing that I struggle is helping someone remove their mental baggage. you know, whether it's like, you know, the old saying that money is the root of all evil, right? Or I don't deserve this, or like it's never been done before, why me? Or the cards are stacked against me. I struggle with that. Like the biggest challenge for people, like I was saying earlier, everything, you know, all the problems have one thing in common. The mindset required to do real estate, I don't know how to fix it.
Yeah.
Right. But that's usually the biggest challenge in getting into real estate.
Well, it's contrary to everything that we've been trained. So mm-hmm. between school, everything else, we're trained that you sit down, you memorize something. There's no creation. There's no anything else. There is simply the answer and you memorize it. Then when you put that down, the better you do is calculated by the least you get wrong. And so if you get anything wrong, you're bad and you're doing it wrong. And that's how we are then graded. And we are done that day after day after day after day, every day. And we are trained that that's where our value comes from. It comes from 100%. We are trained that our value comes from simple regurgitation, which simplifies everything. There is simply an answer. And I have to, in order to be right, to be good, in order to get my gold star socially, everything else, it has to be that answer. And that is not how entrepreneurship is. That's not how investing is, right? At all. Yeah. It's no, we make mistakes and there is not exactly known things. And that is really, really hard to overcome because we've all been that beaten in our head. You know, you go to college, all of a sudden you're 23 and that's what you've been told your entire life.
Yeah, it's a constant battle against the fog of war in business. It's like there are unknowns out there and we just make our best decisions. And we might find out after we figure out those unknowns, boy, we were wildly wrong. But now that we know this, let's never do this again. And hey, here's how we adjust. The best way to figure out the right direction is to go in the wrong direction. And now you know that was the wrong direction. But the willingness to embrace the possibility of being wrong.
Yes.
Man, I think that's one of the biggest differences.
Yeah, I could not agree more. You know, a lot of people may see confident people and they see actually pride and not confidence. And that is something that kills you in this game because you have to learn from other people. You have to work with other people and you have to be okay not knowing. And pride doesn't like that, right, at all. And we're all prideful to some extent. And in entrepreneurship, we get taught a lesson when we are, and that lesson hurts. And so it's a constant, okay, I get it, I don't know. But to me, that's also reassuring because it means that I don't have to be perfect, right? It means that I cannot know all these things and I can still be successful. So for me, it actually is freeing.
Well, the best way to get humility lessons is to go into business for yourself.
Yeah, that'll happen fast. Yeah. And most people then try to blame the customer or the market. Mm-hmm. And you're like, that's not how this works. Like, your only purpose is to serve them. And the better you do with that, then you'll be successful. So let's get into, I want to ask real quick here before we wrap up here. The first few real estate deals, how has your real estate journey evolved? Meaning that, you know, when people start out, like I did very different things that I wouldn't do today. That doesn't mean that they were bad necessarily, but that's what I did starting out and how I got to it, right? So I had to transition from being this kind of real estate investor into something else to progress, right? Everything else. But how I got started was right because it was an opportunity for me. Like, how did you get started, right? And how did that kind of take you down your path?
Well, first property we bought to flip remotely. That didn't work. Mostly the market shifted. It would have worked if the market hadn't changed in 06. Either way, we should have sold it, and I was a minority in that company, so my vote didn't matter. Right? So we kept it as a rental, and that was a disaster. So flipping remotely, probably wouldn't do again. I would say probably the single biggest mistake, which going back in, like, would you change it? No, because it kind of creates who you are.
Yes.
But the biggest thing that if I were to do differently was not be a realtor. You know. Doing the flip remotely, we lost money, but whatever. We bought other rentals. That was great. But becoming a licensed realtor to help people buy and sell houses, because I saw, you know, another person who was my mentor have a lot of success being a realtor. Just following his footprints and doing what he did, even though I had success with it, even though I had all the accolades, what a waste of time, right? Like, it was just, if I would have just kept my head down and just bought real estate, I'd be much, much further ahead. So again, it gave me the skill sets to be who I am today. But man, 9 years of being of helping people buy and sell houses, if I could get those 9 years back, I'd probably be a much happier man.
Yeah. And it's interesting how, I think that's exactly right. First of all, some of the things that I did is actually what I view as my biggest mistakes. Like, and did, I mean, I'm not investments, things like that. I mean, actions. Like, oh, I was doing this thing in my business as like, I shouldn't have been doing it. It should have gone to somebody else, or
right.
And the reason I regret it is because of all the time that I wasted and all of the stuff that it could have been applied to something else. And I kind of come to believe, though, that that's part of the gig, right? Because I think what you did and what I did, other people, we grow out of it.
Yes.
And that's why it makes sense at first. But then we're like, what in the world? Why am I doing this? Why was I ever doing that? Well, at the time, you know, so it's easy to look back, right, and say, but I think shouldn't judge ourselves too harshly.
Yeah. But I think that, you know, it kind of goes back to the way I'm wired and I move fast, right? Like, I became a licensed realtor, quit my W-2 job, like, instant. Like, I met this guy who was helping us buy rental properties. It's like, oh, man, this guy's making a lot more money as a realtor than I am as an engineer. I'm going to go do what he does, right? And I quit my job in 2 weeks after doing all this.
Whoa.
And you just come to learn that, like, I'm a person who takes massive action.
Yeah.
That's who I am.
Yep.
Which, at the grand scheme of things, is a good thing. However, being a massive action taker in the beginning, noble. Being a massive action taker when you've got 25, 30 people on payroll, and 20 years in your career, that's not necessarily the asset or attribute you need anymore, right? We need to be more thoughtful, more particular. And that was the thing that I think held me back for many years, was it was an asset to be an action taker in the beginning. It was no longer an asset to be a massive action taker later on in my career.
I could not agree more to that. And it's like interesting how that can be the one thing that actually hurts you.
Yeah.
And it's this, because I'm the same way, and you're right, that helps in the short term. So I view it in like the long term, starting out being doing massive action, that helps you in the long term. Short term, it's outrageously disruptive though. Right? I quit my job and I went and did this, right? Like, it's like just waves of disruption. But it helps you in the long term, right? Now, as you grow and everything, it's the opposite. Massive action may make you feel good in the short term and it may animate everything else, but in the long term, it can actually really hurt or even devastate you. So it's kind of a flip. And it's funny that it's counter each time, right?
Yeah.
And so it's really important at first, though, to, because I think one of the biggest things holding people back is just that, it's just not taking action.
Absolutely, right? And it's just, as we get older and wiser, it's just, you got to remember periodically, you know, what got you here won't get you there.
Yep. No, I love that. All right, man, I know we're already past a time here, but thank you so much for coming on. And could you tell everybody where they can go to find out more and listen more to you and speak on this stuff?
Yeah, the best place to find me is Real Estate Disruptors. That's on iTunes, Spotify, and YouTube. AJ is going to be on in a very, very near future. We were at, like, I think 3.2 million downloads. We got 40,000 subscribers on YouTube. That's the best place to find me. Instagram at steve.trang, or on you know, the interwebs, closemoresales.com.
Love it. Thanks, man. We'll have those in the bio. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you having me here.